From the Word of God, Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, the very present help in trouble. Therefore we will not fear, even though the earth be removed and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though its waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her just at the break of dawn. The nations raised, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Come, behold the works of the Lord, who has made desolations in the earth. He makes wars cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. This is the Word of God. This is the Word of God for the people of God. Thanks be unto God. For our meditation this morning in the Word, I want to do this a little bit differently than previous messages that I've shared with you. I want to break down the verses. I want to break down the psalm, verse by verse, piece by piece, and see what there is in there for us. There's a title at the beginning of this psalm that editors put in sometime after the writer had written this ancient song of Israel. And these titles were included when the Old Testament canon was settled and closed, hundreds of years before Jesus was born. And it's powerful to start with this title. This is addressed to the chief musician. Who could that be but the Lord our God? The one who is above all, who is higher than all, who is in all, through all, and be all. The chief musician. And so when we read this psalm, when we sing, "A Mighty Fortress Is Our God," which Martin Luther based on this psalm, we're singing to him, to the chief musician. We are acknowledging the Lord our God. And happen what may, the Lord's people are secure. That's the doctrine of this psalm. That's the message that's shared with us this morning to help our memories. And for that reason, I call it the Song of Confidence. Verse 1, God is our refuge and strength. What is our strength? Where is our trust? What do we look to get us through life's difficulties, through the problems and the turmoils and the things that we face almost daily? God is our refuge and strength. And I want you to listen to this psalm not only here in the 21st century, but I want you to listen to it back in the day when it was written. Back when there were armies and fortresses that Israel could trust in, that other nations could trust in. And the psalmist wants us to know that our boast is in the Lord God, the only true and living God. Others may place their hopes in impenetrable forces, in castles, in inaccessible rocks and defenses, behind gates of iron. But the psalmist lets us know that God is a far better refuge from distress than all of these. He stands with us, a better hope, a better strength, a better help than we could ever have in any other passage, in any other way. And believers, remember this. I beg your pardon. I didn't turn my phone on silent. Okay. And remember this. Count yourself safe. Count yourself secure. Count yourself strong in the Lord our God. And as the psalmist writes, he says, the Lord is our strength, including all of us. And I want you to take that passage and make it personal. The Lord is my strength. The Lord is my refuge. He is my God, all in all. All other refuges, all other places of security, all other places to whom we go for strength, are weakness. Easily overthrown, easily defeated, but not the Lord our God, a very present help in trouble. In whatever distress, there God is to be found and tested and tried and proven by His people. He is our strength. He is our source. And He never withdraws from us. There may be times when we don't sense His nearness. There may be times, and for whatever reason, and many reasons, we can't see Him, we can't hear Him, we can't feel Him. He still is there, our refuge and our strength, close at our side, ready to come to our refuge, more present than any friend, than any relative, more present even than the trouble that assaults us. The Lord God is our strength, our refuge, our help. Verse 2. Therefore will we not fear. With God on our side, how irrational it is to fear the enemy and the things that are thrown against us. When God is all power and all love, why should we fear? Though the earth be removed, though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, those things that we count on to be secure, to be safe, if they're removed, God's still there. He's still our hope. He's still our strength. And these two phrases, though the earth be removed and though the mountains be carried, set the most terrible consequences, the most terrible commotions that we can think about. And back in the time that the psalm was written, you think about the overthrow of dynasties, the overthrow of kingdoms, the destruction of nations, the ruin of families, and bring it up to our time, the persecution of the church, the reign of heresy, whatever may try the faith of believers, we will not fear. Another passage says, though the elements melt with a fervent heat, and the heavens and the earth pass away, even then our refuge shall preserve us from all evil. Our strength shall be prepared for all that is good. At the conclusion of our time of worship every Sunday, we recite the Apostles' Creed. And we say, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. And we go through the rest of those words, and we could tack on in our faith the words of verse 2, therefore we will not fear. Verse 3, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled. Now, I'm not going to tell you, and you know this before I tell you. You've known it all along. We're going to have trouble. We're going to have difficulties. There are going to be times when our faith is assaulted. There are going to be times when our life is tested. Though the waters thereof roar and are troubled. Faith is not afraid of noise. Faith is not afraid of real force. Faith knows that the Lord stills the raging seas and holds the waves in the hollow of His hands. Though the mountains should shake with the swelling thereof. I was born and raised on top of the Allegheny Mountains. They stretch from Maine all the way down to Georgia. Think about an earthquake that would shake that entire mountain chain. The psalmist tells us, with the Lord our God as our strength and refuge, even though that mountain range, or any mountain range, tremble and shake, we're safe in our God. People may quake, people may shake, people may be afraid. Certain times of calamity comes, but the person who trusts in God need never be dismayed. Now, this does not exclude us from troubles, but it promises us a source of strength. Now, before verse 4 comes, there's a word I didn't read as I shared the psalm with you. It's a little word, Selah. And it's three times in this psalm, and it's often in other psalms. And commentators are quick to state they don't know for certain what that word means. The best guess, since these were songs that were sung in worship, that's some kind of a musical cue, perhaps a rest, where we can, if we were singing it, catch our breath, meditate on what we've just sung. And I think it's continues there as a word to us to be in no hurry, to sit down, see what's happening around us. If the earth dissolves, if the mountains rock, if the oceans roar, we can calmly face the dangers because of our God. He is our refuge and He is our strength. Verse 4. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God. There is a river. Now, the psalmist has talked about raging rivers. But in another place, he talks about still waters. He leadeth me by still waters. He causes me to sit down in a place of His preparation, in a place of His preparing, and in the presence of my enemies prepares a table. There is a river. The streams thereof make glad the city of God. Divine grace, like a smoothly flowing, fertilizing, full and never failing river, yields refreshment, consolation to believers. In another place, we read about the river of the water of life, which believers can drink and be rejoicing in. These streams, the psalmist said, makes glad the city of God. As the psalm was written and first sung, Jerusalem is that city. Israel is that city. Today, as believers in Jesus Christ, you and I are that city. built, purchased by the Son of God, and indwelt by the Holy Spirit, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. We're indwelt by Almighty God. That's why we can say He's our refuge, He's our strength, He's always present, He's always close, He's always near. As believers, He lives inside of us. And that's a choice, privilege of saints. We are the temple of God, the living temple of the Lord. Verse 5, God is in the midst of her. His help is sure and near. When there's difficulties, when there's adversities, when there's distress, He's in our midst. Do you remember the time when Moses was walking in that wilderness area where he was living, tending sheep for his father-in-law and living his life safe from Egypt? And he sees one day a bush that's burning and is not consumed. And he walks up to it, and a voice speaks and says, "This is holy ground." And he's told, "Take your shoes off, because you're standing on holy ground." That's an example of God in the midst. It was like nothing Moses had ever experienced before. But it was holy ground. And there God spoke to him. And there was God in the midst. She shall not be moved, the city of God. God shall help her. There's a story in the Old Testament, in 2 Kings, where Israel is facing destruction, annihilation, because the army of Assyria has come against them. And in 2 Kings chapter 19, if you'd like to follow along, I'm reading from verse 10. The prophet of God speaks to the king and says, "Thus you shall speak to Hezekiah, the king of Judah, saying," that's the message of God from the prophet, "Thus you shall speak to Hezekiah, king of Judah, saying, do not let you..." I'm sorry, I told you totally wrong. "This is the word of the enemy coming. Tell the king, tell Hezekiah, do not let your God in whom you trust deceive you, saying Jerusalem shall not be given into the hand of the king of Assyria. Look, you've heard what the kings of Assyria have done to all the lands by destroying them utterly. And shall you be delivered? Have the gods of the nations delivered them? Those whom my fathers have destroyed, Gorazan and Haran and Rezeph and the people of Eden who were in Teslar? Where's the king of Hamath? The king of Arpad? The king of the city of Stephanrephim? Hena and Iva?" And Hezekiah received the word, received the letter from the hand of the messengers, and read it. And Hezekiah went up to the house of the Lord and spread it before the Lord. Then Hezekiah prayed before the Lord and said, "O Lord God of Israel, the one who dwells between the cherubim, you are God, you alone of all the kingdoms of the earth. You have made heaven and earth. Incline your ear, O Lord, and hear. Open your eyes, O Lord, and see, and hear the words of Sennacherib, which he has sent to reproach the living God. Truly, Lord, the kings of Assyria have laid waste the nations and their lands and have cast their gods into the fire, for they were not gods, but the work of men's hands, wood and stone. Therefore they destroyed them. Now therefore, O Lord our God, I pray, save us from his hand, that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that you are the Lord God, you alone. Then Isaiah the son of Amoz sent to Hezekiah saying, thus says the Lord God of Israel, because you have prayed to me against Sennacherib, king of Assyria, I have heard. And then you turn over to verse 35. And it came to pass on a certain night that the angel of the Lord went out and killed in the camp of the Assyrians 185,000. And when people arose early in the morning, there were corpses, all dead. So Sennacherib, king of Assyria, departed and went away, returning home, and remained in them. Now it came to pass, as he was worshiping in the temple of Nisroch, his god, that his sons, Adammelech and Shazer, struck him down with the sword. And they escaped into the land of Herod. Then another son raised in his place. God shall help. The enemy of Israel was mocking, or excuse me, the enemy of Judah was mocking and saying, you've seen all the nations that Sennacherib has crushed. You know all the gods that they worshipped that have been thrown into the fire. How do you think, puny that you are, your God is going to save you? And the word of God came to Hezekiah saying, the Lord heard you. God shall help her, and that right early. And when the army of Assyria woke up the next morning, they were surrounded by 187,000 corpses. We sometimes get in a hurry. We sometimes run ahead of God. But Peter said the Lord isn't really being slow about his promise, as some people think. No, he is being patient for your sake. Our enemies, our troubles, rise up against us and threaten us. But in the midst of all that, we can be silent and confident that the darkest hour is going to give way to the morning light. And then the Lord shall appear at our side. Verse 6. The heathen raged, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, and the earth melted. That's all it takes, is a word from the Lord to calm the storm, to calm our anxious hearts, to calm our weary, feebled minds. Just a word from the Lord. Verse 7, the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. With that God, with that strength, with that host, with that refuge, let's rest. And then the psalmist says, come behold the works of the Lord. What desolations he has made in the earth. He destroys the destroyer. He desolates the desolator. His power is over all that comes against us. Verse 9, He makes the wars to cease. The wars in our hearts, those anxious times, those worrisome times. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear in sunder. He burns the chariots in the fire. All the weapons that the enemy can throw against us, God takes care of. In verse 10, Be still and know that I am God. Folks, we are not comfortable with silence. Have you ever been in a meeting where they said, let's have a time of silent prayer? It probably doesn't last 10 seconds. Maybe 15. It's difficult to be still. We think we must do something. We think we must say something. We're like Simon Peter on the Mount of Transfiguration. The Bible says he didn't know what to say. So he blurts out, let's build 3 tents and just stay here. This is a good place. Be still and know that I am God. Sit down and wait in patience. How difficult is that? But God says, I will be exalted among the heathens. I will be exalted in the earth. Not maybe, not perhaps. You remember the passage from the New Testament. Every knee shall bow. Every tongue confess. And then verse 11. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. The Lord is on our side. Emmanuel, God with us, is our Redeemer. Here as before, lift up your hearts. Rest in praise. Selah. Amen.